In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith, Lesson 142, Dispositions for Holy Communion. And I'm switching from the book that I was using. It's an older copy, and it has the older rules and regulations for fasting. But the newer copy that I believe at least most people have in their possession is the one I'm going to be reading from now, which I believe has the modified fasting. Okay. We are looking at an image of the priest and server during the distribution of communion. And we have two images inset. And I will read the caption. This is how we should kneel at the communion rail. We should not crowd or push. The inset number one shows how to approach and leave the communion rail with joined hands and downcast eyes. Number two shows how to receive Holy Communion. We open the mouth and extend the tongue a little over the lower lip. Meanwhile, let us welcome Jesus into a joyful heart. First question, what is necessary to receive Holy Communion worthily? To receive Holy Communion worthily, it is necessary to be free from mortal sin and to keep the Eucharistic fast. The first requirement is for the soul, the second is for the body. What should we do to comply with the required disposition for the soul? We must be in a state of grace. One who knowingly receives Holy Communion in mortal sin truly receives Jesus Christ, but commits sacrilege. The first bad communion was made by Judas. He had promised to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, yet he went to the Last Supper and received Holy Communion from the hands of our Lord. One is not required to go to confession before each communion, but only when he is conscious of grievous sin. If he only doubts whether he committed mortal sin or not, he may still go to Holy Communion after an act of contrition. If without a person's fault, he forgets in confession to accuse himself of a mortal sin, it is forgiven with his other sins, and he may go to Holy Communion. He must, however, mention the sin he forgot when he goes again to confession. One who commits a mortal sin after confession and not realizing it goes to Holy Communion does not make a bad communion. One makes a bad communion only when one is certain and conscious of being in mortal sin and still deliberately receives Holy Communion. However, the purer our conscience, the more graces we receive from the sacrament, so we should make an act of contrition beforehand. Before receiving Holy Communion, we should try to have an ardent desire to be united with Christ and arouse sentiments of faith, humility, hope, and love. Let us try to bring to our Eucharistic Lord some gift, however small. Let us avoid places of amusement the night before we receive Him in Holy Communion as a little sacrifice. Let us pray devoutly and continuously to show Him the joy in our hearts at His coming. What should we do to comply with the required dispositions for the body? We must keep the Eucharistic fast. The regulations for keeping the Eucharistic fast are: natural water, that is, water to which nothing has been added, does not break the Eucharistic fast. We may drink natural water any time we wish, even a few moments before entering the church to prepare for Holy Communion. Artificial mineral waters like soda or water to which a little sugar has been added is not to be considered natural water for the Eucharistic fast. When Holy Communion is received in the morning, we must be fasting from midnight. That is, we must not take anything by way of food or drink except natural water after midnight. In reckoning the time of fasting for Holy Communion, we may follow the meridian or sun time, standard time, or daylight savings time. If in doubt whether he ate or drank before or after 12, one may go to Holy Communion. When Holy Communion is received in the afternoon, that is, after 4 o'clock, we must stop taking solid food not later than 3 hours before Holy Communion, and liquid food, which must be non-alcoholic, not later than 1 hour before. If Holy Communion should be distributed at 4:30 p.m., we must stop taking solid food by 1:30 p.m. and liquid food by 3:30 p.m. Liquid food, taken in the form of drink, includes coffee, tea, chocolate, cocoa, milkshake, broth, milk, or any other liquids, even mixed with something solid like wheat meal or ground toast or a beaten egg, provided the liquid form remains. Those who wish to receive Holy Communion in the morning but find it difficult to fast under the following particular circumstances may take something in the form of drink, provided it is non-alcoholic, up to 1 hour before receiving Holy Communion. This they may do only after seeking the advice of a confessor, either personally in the confessional or personally outside of it. The confessor is the one to decide whether their difficulties entitle them to take liquid food up to 1 hour before Holy Communion. The particular circumstances are heavy labor carried out before Holy Communion. This labor is of those who have to work during the night, like night workmen in factories, nurses, night watchmen, pregnant women, and mothers of families who, before going to church, must spend a long time on domestic duties. The late hour at which Holy Communion is received, that is, at a Mass set after 9 a.m., has struck. A long journey to get to the church. This must be at least 1 1/4 miles covered on foot, or a corresponding longer distance by vehicle, according to the vehicle used and taking into consideration the difficulties of the route and the condition of the person. After seeking the personal advice of a confessor, the sick, even those not bedridden, may, with no limit of time, also shortly before Holy Communion, whether in the morning or in the afternoon, take something in the form of drink, provided it is non-alcoholic. They may also take medicine, either solid or liquid, but the liquid medicines must not be alcoholic. Those who receive Holy Viaticum are not bound by the laws of fasting. In case of great danger of death, under sentence of death, or in war, or to save the sacred species from desecration, those not fasting may communicate. How should we behave when receiving Holy Communion? Devout and recollected, we should think of our Lord, whom we are receiving, and make fervent acts of virtue. In approaching the communion rail, one should have his hands joined, and not walk too hurriedly, nor rush ahead of others, nor insert himself between two persons already kneeling close to each other at the rail. It is very irreverent for women and girls to go to Holy Communion with sleeveless dresses, low necks, and no stockings. The paint of their lipstick may possibly touch the sacred host. When the priest approaches, one should raise his head and open his mouth with the tongue slightly extended over the lower lip. After communion, he should withdraw to give room for others and return to his place with joined hands and downcast eyes. One should swallow the host as soon as he can. Jesus stays with us only as the appearance of bread remains. If the host sticks to the mouth, we must on no account remove it with the finger, but moisten it with saliva and remove it with the tongue, then swallow it. concludes the reading for this. Do we have any questions or comments? I think I mentioned some of these things last week. I guess I was anticipating what was coming. We need to prepare both our body and soul to receive Holy Communion. I'm not sure what the requirements there for stockings, but I guess if you're wearing a skirt and showing more legs, but if you're wearing a long skirt and covering your legs, I don't know the purpose of stockings, but again, this was written at another time. Whether women wear stockings or not, I don't usually check. I don't usually care, but I can see that taking off the lipstick or not putting lipstick on would be a little more respectful, I guess, for our Lord, lest the host touch the lipstick or be stained by the lipstick when the priest is giving the host to us. And again, I think sleeveless dresses and low necks, pretty obvious. And then again, as I mentioned, I think last week, to fold our hands properly, to keep them away from our mouth, to give room for the server to place the paten underneath our chin so that just in case the host is dropped by the priest or falls off our tongue, that it may be caught on the paten and not go to the floor. And truly, the server can only do his job if we make space for the paten to go under our chin and tilt our head back just a little bit and keep our hands out of the way. I guess that's all we have to say.
With the midnight Eucharistic Mass, Your Excellency, that's no longer required, is that correct? It's just the 3 hours?
Just the 3 hours. I think for midnight it would be if you went to a 6 a.m. Mass or something really early. But I think the later Mass, and because many of are driving from a distance, that the 3 hours is what we've always instructed people to observe. The 3 hours from solid food, 1 hour from liquids, and water at any time. And of course, medicine may be taken, and those who are ill may be exempt. Remember whether it was in this book or the other one where I was reading about pregnant women, nursing mothers, etc., can have an exception. So, Holy Viaticum is Holy Communion, basically given at the time of last rites. So the last rites include usually confession, Communion and extreme unction, or the anointing. And so there are three different rites, and that's why it's called the last rites. And I know very often people seem to equate last rites with extreme unction as if they are the same thing. But extreme unction is by itself a sacrament. Holy Communion by itself is a sacrament. Penance or confession is a sacrament by itself. So these are three different rites, and often they are administered at the same time to someone who is at the point of death. And that's what we call last rites. And so Holy Viaticum is Holy Communion administered in those circumstances. I think we will end with our act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.
Thank you, Your Excellency.